right. Good morning. It is, as always, good to see you here this morning, and we say a special welcome to any guests that we may have with us here this morning. We do welcome you, and hopefully all of us have had a good week, a blessed week, and thankful to be here with one another and to be here together to worship our Savior and our Lord. So I know I'm thankful, and I know all of us are to be here. I have just a few things I want to highlight from the bulletin. And I do want to tell you, just take a look through, even after I say this morning or this afternoon or whenever. They've got a lot of things going on this week and in this month of December. So take a look at the upcoming events so you don't overlook anything or miss anything that we have going on here. I do want to mention tonight, we do have our fifth Sunday community service here. So let's all make plans to attend tonight to be here for that service. Also for the missions committee. You will be meeting this Wednesday at 8 o'clock, right, directly following our prayer meeting service. So, missions committee will meet this upcoming Wednesday. Also, you saw the ladies' cookie exchange. Don't miss that, ladies. That'll be this Thursday. And I do have one further thing down near the bottom of the coming events that I do want to go ahead and mention. I know it's a ways away, but I want to go ahead and mention that now. December 22nd, we have a Cartwright Men's Fellowship scheduled for that in the bulletin. We actually do not have Cartwright Men's Fellowship on December 22nd, so that's actually something we're going to take out of there, but just want to go ahead and tell you now, and I'll probably tell you again next week and if it's still in there, but I doubt it'll be in there. Anyway, just want to mention that to you. That's something that we can scratch out. We will not have a Cartwright Men's Fellowship on December 22nd. Were there any announcements that need to be made this morning from the congregation? Patrick?
Good morning.
That's the sound right there.
Turn it up just a little bit.
Good morning. I want to first want to thank everybody who came and ate at the youth dinner last Sunday at the church. We raised about $700. Thank you for the ones who cooked. Thank you, ones who helped clean up. And we thank you for coming and enjoying the meal. Also, in the slideshow, you saw a Parents Night Out sign-up sheet in the back hallway for you drop your kids off. My mom's in charge of it. She has a bunch of adults helping. So any questions, ask her. It's this Saturday, start from 5:30 to 10. You can pick your kids up at any time. But parents, you want to go do something, date, go home and just relax, bring your kids here. The cost is just a donation, whatever the Lord leads you to give. And also, fifth Sunday night tonight, we have no league tonight. So all the young people, just come over here to the service. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Any other announcements that need to be made from the congregation? Okay, all right. That's an invite from Mr. Philip Robinson. Thank you, Philip. Anybody else? Any announcements? Any praises? Anything you'd like to share? Okay. Justin? Okay. Keep Justin and those traveling in your prayers. Thank you, Justin. I do have one thing to share here, a thank you card from Miss Carol Lane that I'd like to share with the church family. It says, "Dear church family, thank you for the prayers, calls, visits, text, and the gift card I received after my recent foot surgery. Each of you is so special to me, and I am thankful to worship and to serve our Lord with you. Again, thank you for thinking of me during this time. Love, Carol Lane." Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you for all you've blessed us with as individuals and as a church. And we thank you now for this time we have to gather together this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time, that you would use what is done here this morning to speak to us, to draw us closer to you. Help us to take what we hear, apply it to our lives so that we can better serve you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Yes, as before, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. With that joy in our hearts, let us join together in singing the call to worship as on the screen. followed by hymn number 124. Let us stand together and worship the Lord in song. And while you're standing, greet those around you and wishing them God's richest blessing today.
Unexpected, if you're following the Lord, if you're really following the Lord, you're going to encounter some things that you never dreamed about that would happen to you or that you would be a part of. Because you never know when God is going to break into our lives in a very special way. And the truth is, this Christmas season, there's going to be a lot of people that when God breaks into their Christmas celebration, it's going to shock them to death because they've planned a lot of stuff, but they haven't really planned it with Jesus. And we have an opportunity, I think, as a church to kind of help them experience the presence of Christ during Christmas. And you saw it very quickly. Little invite cards for a special showing of the Billy Graham movie, the one that's out called Heaven. And it's a very powerful, we saw it last Sunday night here at the church. For those of you that came out, it's a powerful testimony, not only for believers, but also for those who are not. And if we will pick up the invites, and they're laying right up here on the altar, bathe them in prayer. It's one of the reasons why they're laying on the altar, is to realize that we need to pray before we invite. But then invite folks to come. And by the way, you know, even if you know everybody, if they're Christians already, and some of you may, maybe every single person you know is a God-fearing, following Jesus person. And if that's who you are, man, praise the Lord. But you can still pray and pick up an invite card. Because if you'll pray that God might open your life to somebody you don't even know, but they need an invite to hear about Jesus. So pick up an invite. We're going to do it in a couple of weeks on a Sunday night. And the more we pray about it, the more we invite, I believe the greater God will move amongst us unexpectedly. But nothing compares to how God moved in Mary's life. And if you stop and think about it, I mean, God used Mary to fulfill one of the greatest promises that God ever made to humanity. And he broke into her world. And we're going to see a series of short little video clips for the 4 weeks of Advent that takes a look at life, well, from Mary's perspective. And it's kind of a modern day thing, because I think sometimes we read the Bible, you know, in the days of Caesar Augustus, and there was a census ordered and all this stuff, and we forget Mary was just a teenage girl. And God very unexpectedly broke into the world. So sometimes when we modernize it, it helps us to understand it. So we're going to see a short video clip about how God broke into our world and how crazy it would have been to Mary, her friends, her family, Joseph. Well, to anybody that really knew. Stephen is saying no audio, so apparently we're not going to experience how Mary was shocked by Jesus. I guess we're unexpectedly shocked by that. It's too bad, because it is a powerful presentation of how God would have broken into a young girl's life and how it would have just turned her world upside down. But the truth is, God is doing things unexpected in our lives, and he did use a young maiden to break into our world and fulfill the promise of Christ. And that's really what, at least in part, what Advent about. It is about preparation for his coming and how unexpectedly that coming really was. So the candle this morning is the candle of hope. It's a hope that we have based on the promises of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the power of the season of Advent, and how that we often use different decorations and different symbols to help us recognize how active that you are in our world, not only at Christmas time, but at all times. And Lord, as we look around our sanctuary that's been so beautifully put together for us, may you use these symbols to point us to you. May we embrace your hope and your promises. Lord, you inspired Peter to write that these were very great and special promises, and that through these promises we get to be a part of your divine nature and escape, Lord, the evil and the corruption that is in the world. And so, Lord, help us to live within that hope this Advent season, because as we do, as your people, as we follow you, Lord, and your hope shines through us, we know and believe that others are going to sense that hope that we're experiencing, and, Lord, that you will use us to draw others to you. Lord, we have a lot of prayer concerns. You've heard a few voices this morning. There's lots of people on the road and traveling. We're praying for your grace to be upon them. But Lord, this day, wherever they are, whether traveling or not, it doesn't matter. This is your day. And so I pray that along the way, each and every one of us will pause and thank you for the hope that you've brought to our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Ushers, if you would please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we give you thanks for everything you have blessed us with, and we ask now as we give this portion back that you would take it, use it for your honor, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Invite the congregation to turn to hymn number 101, and then turning over to 102 for the second part. His name is wonderful, then followed by There's Something About That Name, and we'll sing Something About That Name through twice. His name is wonderful once, and through his name, Something About That Name, sing it twice. Following this will be a special selection by Brother Mark, and during the singing of this song, our children and children's church workers will be dismissed for their place of worship. Let us stand together. His name is wonderful.
Thank you.
said, amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated.
Attending some business affairs, I heard a commotion a couple streets over. Wondered what was happening there. A young man was running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and burdens you carry heavy and dragging you down, you've tried everything you can possibly think of, there's no relief to be found. Well, that very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind man, the deaf, and the lame, he's still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. You'll be trying to catch the crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he's leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, the blind man, he saw it all. Ask the blind man, he saw it all.
Obviously, the giveaway is you look around and there's decorations everywhere, so it must be that time of the year again. And it is a time of the year that most churches, most people go all out for. Now, it's not the time of the year that defines us as Christians. I mean, it's an important time of the year, and I fully embrace it, but it's not the time that defines us as Christians because that's Good Friday and Easter. See, it was there on those days that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, think about that great exchange that scripture proclaims. The great exchange. God says, okay, I'm going to take all of that sin, all of that evil, all of that bad stuff that you're all about, and I'm going to take it and I'm going to take care of it, and in place of it, I'm going to give you all of my goodness. I'm going to give you all of my righteousness so that you and I, even though I didn't cause it, you did, but even so that you and I can be together. That's the great exchange, and those are the days and the hours that truly define our faith. Now, Christmas is important. I mean, it's mind-boggling, isn't it? I mean, that one verse in John's gospel says, and the Word became flesh and dwell among us. I don't know about you, but my mind just don't get itself wrapped around this idea that somehow God became one of us. So it's important. Important not because, well, not because stores run all those great sales and entice us to spend more money than we should. Not because of the cheery music and the decorations and the parties, and there's plenty of those. It's important, especially because, as the Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, proclaims, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And the thee is Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, one of the most reoccurring promises that God ever made in Scripture, at least in the Old Testament, was the promise about the Messiah. And God said, I'm going to send the anointed one, the one that's going to save you, the one that's going to lead you. In our text this morning, Jeremiah 33, starting with verse 14, it's one of those promises, prophecies that God made concerning the coming of the Messiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Now, you all know the game already, right? I mean, you've done it so many times. You've played it for years. You know, we put out an Advent wreath, and we put some candles around it. We lit the first candle, the purple one today, and next week we'll light two purples. And then after that, we'll light the pink candle, and after that, the fourth purple candle. I mean, you know that. We've done it for years. It's almost secondary. We don't give it any thought. We just do it. And if I ask, probably many of you could even identify the grand theme of each candle. Hope and peace and joy and love. And the truth is, those are powerful themes that need to speak to us and prepare us for what we're really supposed to be doing this Advent season. Now, many traditions also begin to specify some of the reasons for why those candles take on those themes. Like the candle of hope is also many times called the candle of prophecy. Or the candle of God's promises to us. And specifically, it refers to two promises that God made. Now, we know about promises and hearing them and making them all the times, don't we? I mean, we know that people often say, you know, I promise I'm telling the truth. I don't know about you, but it always makes me wonder when they don't say that. What are they telling me? But we hear promises all the time. In fact, we've probably not only heard them, we've probably also been the recipient of promises broken, right? You know, they said they would and didn't, that sort of thing. The truth is, we also can probably conjure up in our mind the image of a person that the only time they're not lying to us is when they're sleeping, because it's the only time they're not talking. I mean, they can't help themselves. They just can't speak the truth. But this morning, what we need to understand is that the prophecies of God are His promises to us. That God has made sometimes to the whole world, everybody, sometimes just to Israel, sometimes just to the church. But here's the thing, when God makes a promise, we can bet our lives on that promise, because as Moses proclaimed, God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does God speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Look, in the covenant that God made with Abraham, God promised that the entire world was going to be blessed through Abraham. And God kept that unbelievable promise in an unbelievable way. I mean, who would have really ever imagined God be taking on flesh and being one of us? Well, God spoke. God spoke to Moses through what? The burning bush. And then God spoke to the prophet Elijah through that still small voice. But what God had to say to the world was so very important that God wanted to say it in person to us. And so the Messiah came. And all the prophecies about the Messiah, they came true in Jesus. Micah prophesied hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus that he would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah the prophet prophesied that the Messiah would proclaim the good news to the poor and set the captives free. Zechariah prophesied that at one point the Messiah would come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And just in case you didn't know it, every one of those promises came true. See, in Jesus, all the promises do. Because Jesus, just like Jeremiah said, was the righteous branch from the family line of David. Jesus did do what was just and right, and in him and him alone are we saved and safe. Born in Bethlehem, set the captives free. Jesus was the good shepherd that came looking for us. And how good that really ought to make us feel. I was reading a story about a little boy, and he was outside playing in the neighborhood with all the kids, and all of a sudden he came running inside, and he's crying, he's upset, and his mother went to him and said, What's wrong, honey? Why are you so upset? And when he could finally stop crying long enough, you know how sometimes they get going, and when he finally got there, he said that they were playing hide and seek, and the kids told him it was his turn to go hide, but then they never came and looked for him. See, how sad for that young man. No one came looking for him, but that's just it. We know that Jesus did come looking for us. He didn't come looking to condemn us, which, by the way, we fully deserved. But he came to save us instead. God promised to send the Messiah, and that's what God did. And that's mind-boggling to me that God would do that. But you know something else that's equally mind-boggling to me? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not only have the Jews continued to reject what Jesus did for them, but think about the number of people that we know in our own lives that even though Jesus came to save them and says, I'll give you the great exchange, your sin for my righteousness, they still refuse him. And they still walk away from him. It's mind-boggling. And so in this season of Advent, we prepare for his coming. And God kept his promise to send the Messiah in Jesus. And we can also know that God is going to also keep the promise of the second Advent, the coming again. See, these are the two bookend promises that we're supposed to be preparing for. Yes, we're supposed to be thinking about Jesus as a baby and as a suffering servant, but we're also supposed to be preparing ourselves for the fact that he's coming again. It's what Jesus promised. You know it so well. Those beautiful, wonderful words that John wrote about said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. See, that's his promise to us. He's coming back to get us. It's what the angels proclaimed to the disciples when they saw Jesus ascending that day on the Mount of Ascension, on the Mount of Olives. They're standing there, their mouths are wide open, they're catching all kinds of flies, and the angel came and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you saw him go into heaven. Think about the promise that Paul wrote about to the church in Thessalonica. Not only about the reason, the fact that we don't grieve death like others, but for the fact that Jesus is coming again. He says, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or die or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. No, we know we've got hope. All we got to do is look up here. And that candle of hope reminds us of why we do. We believe, said Paul, that Jesus died and rose again. And we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have died in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Look, I'm not telling you when it's going to be because I have no clue as to when it's going to be. But this I know he's coming back because he promised to come back. And so Advent is about preparing ourselves. And yes, I know that most of the time, even in churches, all of our time preparing is to remember the baby in the manger, the angels and the shepherds, the stable and the wise men. And those are all good and right and powerful. But know this, as we prepare for that manger scene, let us also keep one eye looking to the eastern sky, because soon and very soon, the Lord shall appear again. And the next time he comes was going to be so much different. John said, oh, I want you to know, my dear children, that what we will be has not yet been made known to us. He said, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. He said, but this we know, when he appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to see that strong back that was strong enough not only to carry an old, rough, wooden cross, but strong enough to carry all of our sins upon it. We're going to see those nail-scarred hands that paid the price for our redemption. We're going to see his eyes, those eyes that of love that we can look in there and know how much that he cares for us. We're going to see him in all of his glory. And so maybe we ought to recapture what the early church did, how they ended their service. They would often say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. And as the Bible even ends, even so quickly, come, Lord Jesus. And so even at Christmas time, our celebration has to be more than simply the babe in the manger. We must realize that Jesus is not just a baby, but he's mighty King, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The shepherds, sure, they beheld at least a speck of his glory as they looked upon him in the manger. And even Peter, James, and John at the Mount of Transfiguration, they certainly saw a good portion of his glory in that powerful moment. But all of the glory will be seen when we look upon Jesus. His glory came shining through as he hung on the cross, speaking those beautiful words of, Father, forgive them. His glory was shining bright on that first Sunday morning when the resurrection dawned. And his glory will fill the earth when he comes again. So the next time he comes, he's not going to bear any sin. He's not going to do any suffering. He's simply bringing salvation to those who are waiting for him. No manger, no suffering, no meekness, no servant. No, the next time he comes, he puts an end to all the suffering and evil of this world. And he's going to come and take us home, at least for those of us waiting. He's going to be our God, and we're going to be his people. It's also true that he's also going to bring judgment with him when he comes. Jesus spoke about how that there's going to be this great separation at the end of time, the sheep from the goats. The sheep, those that have embraced him, those that have chosen to follow him, they're going to be on the right, and the goats, those that have rejected him, are going to be on the left. The sheep, those that have accepted him, go into the eternal bliss of heaven, our home. And those on the left will go into eternal punishment and separation from God. We are told that now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And so the question begs itself to be asked, which group are we a part of this morning? And for those of us that say, you know, I know how good it is to follow Jesus. Unexpected, yeah, he sometimes breaks into my world, maybe even in ways I don't even want him to, but it's a powerful thing. But it's just a speck of what things are going to be like when he comes. David Peterson, the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Spokane, Washington, tells the story about how that one night during the week he was at home in his den and he's working on his sermon, and his little girl come running in there and said, Daddy, Daddy, can we play? He said, oh, honey, not right now. He said, I'm really, really busy, but he said, I won't be busy very long, maybe just an hour, and when I'm done in here, honey, we'll play. Well, she wasn't necessarily thrilled with the answer, but she said, all right, Daddy. She said, but Daddy, I want you to know that when we play, I'm going to give you the best hug ever. And she starts to walk out of the room, and then he said she did a U-turn, runs as fast as those little legs, jumps into his arms, and gave him what he called a chiropractic bone-crushing hug. And he said, well, honey, I thought you were going to give me the hug when I was done. And she said, Daddy, I just want you to know how much you have to look forward to. Wow. From the mouths of babes, sometimes the deepest and most precious truth. The first coming of Jesus, the first advent of Jesus, is only for those of us that know him, is only a taste, a sample of how good it's going to be. That is our promise of what is to come. So yes, burn bright, candle before us. Burn and remind us why we have such a great, powerful hope this morning, a hope based on God's promises. Remind us how that the babe into a Savior did grow. Remind us of how that the Lord was victorious over sin and death and how He's coming back to get us. See, that's one of the great images of Christmas. That God wants us to know that, yes, He's coming again. And for those of us that open our lives to Him, it's going to be one of those most powerful and beautiful moments of all time. But understand, we'll all see Him when He comes. Which group are we a part of? Are we waiting for Him? Is He coming to take us to a special place He's designed for us? Or is He coming back and is it going to be a time of judgment for us? By the way, the judgment is simply this. God is going to honor the choice that we make here and now. He'll honor the choice if we choose hell over heaven. He'll honor the choice if we choose to do life without Jesus instead of life with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the beauty and the wonder of your word. We thank You for the fact that You did become flesh and dwell amongst us, and not only dwell amongst us, but You came to save us and redeem us and open up a way that we could experience You in our lives. Lord, we know that You're coming again. May we live our lives in great anticipation how good that moment is going to be. So, Lord, this moment, this day, may You speak to each and every heart that is here. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
We invite the congregation to turn to number 359. We're going to sing all three verses. Each one just folds another truth within our lives. And as Pastor closed this morning, if you're here this morning and you have not made that decision for Christ to accept Him as Savior, we'd invite you to this altar of prayer. And this Christmas season, take Him into your heart as Savior and Lord. Come to this altar of prayer and personally in public receive Him as your Savior. Number 359, the invitation is yours as the need may be there.
We stand each moment, each day, standing on God's promises.
Amen.
Promises to save us, promises to give us a future, promises to take care of us.
Amen.
We are a blessed people. No wonder we celebrate with such richness His coming.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. May it be a benediction of our own life to Him. You and you are dismissed.